Back to reality here, folks. Finish the lyrics, okay?
Oh boy.
And this.
What's the story for this
So
one?
she has a better arm than you do.
I like the garbage one.
Sandwich the podcast around our dad. You
Like
can do.
letting go and moving on, so learning not to do or let something happen to you again.
Okay, so we've gone from lighthearted to more serious here on the What's Your
Pretty
Inspiration
deep.
podcast.
Definitely a process, and you have to work at it. His like leash wrapped around my leg and dragged me underwater for, I don't know, like 30 feet or something. And its name is Fox Number Two.
Focused on my task like a laser beam, no time this day, not a second to daydream.
Igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within. You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Spire.
Hello and welcome to the third episode of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. I'm Fox, and today I have a good friend on. He's a loving husband, a great father, a great friend, and he was also our bullpen catcher with the Somerset Patriots in 13 and 14, Mr. Charlie Leone. Charlie, how are you?
Thank you. As I am bowing to the audience.
Bowing
I'm
to the
doing great,
audience.
Fox.
Good. Now, don't bow to the audience because people, Charlie is driving right now and he's, truth be told, he's got us on Bluetooth, so we're all safe, right, Charlie?
Absolutely.
Good. He's a man of many talents, and we'll get into this, into all of his talents as we go along this third podcast. Now, we mentioned quotes. We want to know about Charlie Leone, the dude, the guy, the man. When I asked you about your favorite quote, what did you write to me?
I wrote to you the quote from the last Rocky movie, and don't laugh if I don't know it in its entirety, but Rocky, he's talking to his son, and he's talking about all the adversity he had to face in his life. Telling him that he couldn't be what he wanted to be because people were telling him that he couldn't be that person he knew he could be, and that's exactly what he was describing, telling his son. And it's not about how hard you can get hit, but it's about how hard you can keep fighting and getting back up, and really just keep going, although you're going through all these bumps in the road. It's just like nothing can beat you down but yourself. The only person that's gonna beat you down is you, because you let people beat you down. And when Rocky said that, and it goes hand in hand in the whole movie. Like, I mean, all from Rocky, the first Rocky, it's just like this guy has the eye of the tiger. Hence why that was like the theme song of these movies. It's like nothing was stopping him because he had a mission, and his eye said what he wanted. He was hungry, man. He had the eye of the tiger, and nothing was going to stop him. And that's me, man. I was told that my whole life, man. You're not going to be a ball player. This, this, that, and the third. You can't do this. You can't do that. But you know what? It never stopped me from working as hard as I did and getting to where I wanted to be. And that's exactly what happened. I went to the baseball game with my girlfriend. This is before I even went to Somerset Patriots game. And we were there. We had got some tickets from her friend's mom. And I told her, I said, "Babe, I'm going to be on that field one day." And lo and behold, I go to the next tryout, and Brett offers me the bullpen catcher position, and that just took off. That was like fireworks in the air. That was like getting signed to a rookie deal and signing a $1 million contract for me. I was hungry, and literally I told Brett, I said, "Listen, man, I'll do it for a Snickers bowl. I really don't care." And that's kind of how it ties into that quote, man. It's just the best quote. It gets you amped up, and it just gets you ready to go again. It's like if you're feeling down, I think that's one of like the greatest quotes to get back into things again.
I agree, man. That's a great start. Life is not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, is that part of the Rocky series, or was that separate?
No, that was the last Rocky, I believe. It's the one where he's retired, and it was like he had a final fight with, I think, what's this guy's name, Tavares or something like that.
Okay.
And everybody was telling him that if Rocky was in his prime, he wouldn't be able to beat him, and that people that he was facing were nobodies.
Right.
So, you know, he got hit with a lot of adversity too. You know, he was like, what do I have to do to prove myself? And that's exactly what Rocky means in that whole movie, is like, what do I have to prove? Why do I have to prove myself to somebody to be somebody?
Right.
And that just like, it just brought everything together, and it just made that bit of the movie that much greater. And that was one of the best parts of that movie.
Gotcha. I totally agree. I can remember probably 6-7 years old. This is 1984-85, watching Rocky IV in the theater with my brothers and my dad. And, you know, the scene when Apollo Creed goes down and Drago knocks him out and eventually kills him. Just seeing that, it makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. I love, Charlie, how you sort of relate the movie to your life. And you just mentioned people in your life that told you couldn't do things. Who were they?
Growing up, I mean, there were just a few people in town, you know. I started out growing up in Middlesex, New Jersey. And just Middlesex alone was still not out of that, like, you know, I don't want to say biased. They were very biased there. You know, they were more against me. You know, I would get picked on and beat up at football my first year at Pop Warner because I was the only Spanish kid on the team.
Okay.
You know, a bunch of other, you know, with a bunch of white kids, of course, and, you know, that was Middlesex. It was just the majority of the population of Middlesex were Caucasian. So when I would go in the practice and stuff, you know, I would get beat up, and then as like an 8-year-old kid, I would have to walk all the way home dealing with that in my head. Like, I'm getting beat up. Like, what do I do? And, you know, my brothers, it's so funny because I never retaliated knowing I could. And my brothers always taught me how to fight. And I didn't think that I would need to prove anything if I did do something like that.
Yeah, so, that's a good point. You were saying?
Myself as a kid, which I think was really hard.
It is hard. You know, in the end, I tell a lot of people, and that's stuff about you I did not know, to be honest with you. I did not know. I tell kids all the time when I teach, and I show them this video of a guy named Nick Vujicic, and he's a guy that was born with no arms, no legs, and he talks about bullying when he speaks. He's a brilliant motivational speaker. And he likens bullying to pulling around a matchbox car with a Mercedes-Benz. So, you know, those people growing up with you, Charlie, when you're 7-8 years old, they weren't doing something that was difficult. What you had to go through was extremely difficult, and exercising the restraint is definitely showing your strength. One of my heroes growing up and of all time is Jackie Robinson. And one of the reasons why is because how he was subject to so much racism and ridicule when he first came to the big leagues and played for the Dodgers. I cannot believe that he didn't retaliate. So kudos to you, Charlie.
You know, what's funny, Fox, is I never even told my parents.
No.
Either. When it happened, you know, my parents were so happy to come to my games. And funny thing is, Foxy, part of that story, you know what's great? How I overcame it because that was my first time ever playing Pop Warner football. I didn't know a lick about football. The only reason I knew about football was because my brother played high school, and he was a quarterback, and he was their star quarterback. And unfortunately, my brother, you know, hung around the wrong people. He got himself in some trouble, so, you know, he didn't continue his career, which he could have had with Rutgers University. So he was a bit of an inspiration to me to actually play sports. And that was my first sport I ever played was football. And the last game of our season, of our 8-0 season as a Pop Warner Pee Wee, I made the winning tackle of the game, which I didn't know until after the game that I had made the winning tackle. I had tackled one of their Piscataway star players, and the game was over because of it. And I didn't know that because everybody was so happy that and jumping around me and giving me high fives. You know, I was like, "What's going on here?" I didn't know what I was supposed to feel. Because everybody was, you know, high-fiving me. I didn't really know the game yet like that.
Got you. It was because you didn't know the game yet. Got you.
Yeah. So.
And just
that was a bit part of my story there about my younger days.
Definitely is. And, you know, I got to know, for our listeners, I got to know Charlie beginning in 2013, whereas he said in a tryout before spring training, we picked him up, and for two seasons, two great seasons, one in 13, we won 95 games with the Somerset Patriots. Charlie was our bullpen catcher. And a lot of our conversations, and you know this, Charlie, were in the batting cage before games, and they could be humorous, they could be serious, and they range from anything and everything, and that's why I thought it would be good to have you on here. Question for you.
Yeah.
Question for you. Which Rocky movie is your favorite one, and why?
Because I think I can relate to Rocky. I feel like I see myself in Rocky because I was that.
Which one do you like the most?
So much. I'm sorry?
Which Rocky movie do you like the most? Do you feel is most inspirational?
The second one. Or was it the first? Was it the first one?
Mm-hmm.
It was the first Rocky. I mean, he was like, you know, he was a muscle guy for a mobster, and he was breaking people's thumbs, and he was just tired of, you know, he was a good-hearted guy. Not to say that I was a musclehead for any mobsters or anything like that, but
a musclehead, a musclehead first used on the What's Your Inspiration podcast.
he was like their executor for the mob. You know, he would go and collect the money and stuff like that, and you could tell. He was in a position where he didn't want to be. You know, he wanted a better life. He was really kind-hearted. He had a real big heart, but he had to do what he had to do to survive.
Gotcha.
And that's exactly why it's my favorite movie because I see that in me. Like right now, like thinking about everything I went through as a kid. Like you know, I did a lot to have to survive, and when I finally got my chance to really show myself and who I was, like, man, I was really appreciated, so that was awesome.
Certainly been through a lot, and you know, what I'm getting out of all of this, Charlie, is this movie, Your Life, it's about character, is it not?
Absolutely.
Okay. What is Charlie Leone's definition of character?
My definition of character is, Sticking to your morals.
Gotcha.
You know, your parents show you how to be who you are growing up. You know, if you have great parents like I have, my parents taught me what it is to work, how to be respectful and respect others, and to have and to gain respect before you can be respected, because that's big. Because everything's about who you are and how you present yourself. And my parents play a very big role in defining this word character because they showed me what it is to be who I am. So that's how I define character. It's just really, you know, showing who you are by your morals. Like, what are your morals? What do you stand for?
Right. And just from my perspective, you know, in Somerset, we spent a lot of time in the clubhouse together, and there was not one day in 2 years that Charlie had a hair out of place on his head. Not one day. Not one day. So talk about respect for yourself, and he was always had a fresh cut. Always had a fresh cut. Good. Great definition of character. You ready for a game?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, this game is about life, is about character, and these quotes and things all have to do with character. I want you, it's called Who Said It? Who Wrote It? Are you ready?
Oh, man, I hope I can do it. I stink at these games.
That's what everybody says, and they get both right. Let's see what you got, Charlie. All right, the first one is, it's a quote. Who said it? Life is what happens when you are making plans.
Life is what happens when you're making plans. God, you got me, Fox.
Okay, I will give you a hint. He is unfortunately deceased, and he was a very talented and famous musician.
Let's see, talented, famous musician. All right. Let me see. I feel like I'm going to say something ridiculous here.
Go ahead. I would love it.
I'm going to say Ray Charles.
That would be a great one. And man, it is not, but I wish it were. It was actually John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Yeah, from the Beatles. From the Beatles. John Lennon. Life is what happens when you are making plans. Okay? You are fairly close to the person who wrote this. Knockdowns, they have them in trillions, but they are married to a trait called resilience. I'll say it again. I'll say it again. It's pretty good, right? knockdowns, they have them in trillions, but they are married to a trait called resilience. Who wrote that?
Wow. Foxy, man, you're killing me.
Okay. First question, which quote do you like better?
I like the first one. I like what John Lennon said.
Okay. I right now, I absolutely hate your guts because the second quote is from my book, Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, and Evoking the Fire Within. That's all you have to say? You're just going to giggle about it? That's quite all right. That's quite all right.
I'm terrible at these games.
No, that's okay. That's quite okay. All that was, Charlie, was a shameless plug for my book, Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, and Evoking the Fire Within. Listeners, you can pick it up off my website, foxbeyer.com, foxbeyer.com. Moving forward, Charlie.
Well, next time, I'm going to know that next time you ask me because I'm going to get that book and I'm going to read it. I'll tell you what.
I thought I gave you a copy of the book.
Did you?
I don't think so. We'll do my voice. You win a free copy of my book for being on the show. There you go. It's from a poem called It Comes Down to the Character of the Man. So I thought it would be a great spot for that. And the final who is, you're a movie buff. Whenever I saw you in the clubhouse, you would have your phone in your hand and you'd be watching some video, be it a comedic video or an inspirational video or a wow video, you're a movie buff. I want you to name two actors from the movie Life.
Life, Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy.
Boom, there it goes. Who is your favorite character in that movie, Life?
Oh, man. I had so many, man. It was such a freaking hilarious movie.
It really is, man. It's educational as well.
I have to say it was Eddie Murphy as Clyde. He was my favorite, man. I think he made the movie.
He does. He did for sure. In so many movies, I love the character can't get right in that movie.
Yeah, awesome. It was great.
Awesome. But a great movie. Highly recommended by Charlie and myself. Okay, Charlie, moving on. Why don't we move on to a little more serious? I asked you about favorite book. And you said, Fox, I don't really read books, but the one book that I do is the book itself, the good book, the Bible, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And where do you keep the Bible in your house?
Well, we have a Bible almost everywhere in my house.
Do you?
You know, I have one in our sock drawer, you know, in the kids' room, and I have one on my phone at all times.
Do you? And it's a great tool. You know, we were talking about Brett Jody, manager of the Somerset Patriots, a good friend of both of ours. And years ago, a couple years ago, he gave me a Bible, a life application study Bible. And when you said that or wrote that to me, I thought about the Serenity Prayer, right? I think about that prayer all the time. Do you recall, I'm sure you know what the Serenity Prayer is, yes?
Not too familiar. I mean, the Bible to me, man, it's so much to read and so much to pick on. It's like,
yeah,
there's so many great things in the Bible, and it's just, you know, I give every credit to all those reverends who know the book front and back, man. Cause you know, if one day I love one quote and then the next day I'm like, wow, this one's even better. Or this one really, really talks to me. Or, you know, it's like, the book is just, it's so big. It's like an encyclopedia, you know, it has definitions of everything in there for you. And it's just, it's incredible. This is why, like, I read it here and there. I open it up and for some reason, there's always a scripture ready for me.
Yeah.
I feel like it's exactly what I need for the day.
Totally agree. It always seems to be wherever you open it up, relevant to your life at that point in that moment.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. So the Serenity Prayer goes like this. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I keep it in my wallet and look at it from time to time. Especially when I'm frustrated, it does calm me down a little bit. So I wanted to ask you, Charlie, let's both you and me do this. Why don't we think of one thing that about ourselves that we have to accept that we know we can't change? Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Absolutely. I'll go first.
Go for it. What is one thing about you that you know you can't change?
I know one thing, and it's something I wish I had a little more of, which is a little height.
Height.
Lack in the height department.
Height. I got a funny story about that. My cousin plays volleyball in a league, and a friend of hers, they call her Phone Book. Do you know why?
No.
Because she needs a phone book to stand on to spike the ball over the net. So a little bit more height. I could use a little bit of that, but I know that I am not going to escape my spastic cerebral palsy. That is going to follow me everywhere. No amount of acupuncture or surgeries will rid me of it. I am always going to have a little strut when I walk. So that I can't change. I have to accept that about myself. So
yeah.
Next, yeah, it's true. It's true. I can't. I've got crazy legs. There's nothing I can do about it. Next, what's that?
Hey, Foxy, though, let me stop before you go, though. But you have done stuff about it, though. I mean, Foxy, I gotta tell you, you are an inspiration on its own, man. To be able to go through what you go through day in, day out, still have a great smile on your face. And just really get out there and do it, man. You just do it. You don't even care what it is. You run, you work out. I catch this guy on the treadmill after catching all our pitchers during our little workout before the game, and I see Foxy with a towel around his neck, and he's on a freaking treadmill or he's on a bike, and he's going. I mean, there's nothing stopping you, Fox, and I think you are a big part of my inspiration when I was in at the Somerset Patriots, man. I'm saying if you're out there doing it and it's not stopping you and it's keeping you happy, why do I have to beat myself up and feel like I could be even further ahead than I think I can be, where I can just be happy about how I'm going and where I am?
I appreciate that, brother. I mean, I really do. I really do.
So I thank you, Foxy.
Thank you. That's just me. I mean, I like to be active. I like to move. I like to sweat. I always picture, and my dad would tell me this. He loved it too. And if you all don't know, Charlie is making the big switch. He's going to take over for his wife. His kids he's going to take care of his kids tonight. His wife is actually going to parent-teacher conferences. So he is a man of many talents. But to continue the story, or just this picture in my mind that I have, it is the picture of Patrick Ewing standing at the free throw line with just sweat pouring off his body. And whenever I'm tired or I don't want to do something or I feel lazy, I just picture that in my mind. And really, that makes me want to break a sweat. I mean, I feel like a fat bag when I don't do something, and I'm picturing that in my mind. For sure. Okay, Charlie, let's talk about one thing about ourselves that we know we can change and that we should change. What's that for you?
I think it's my attitude. I beat myself up, and the reason why that's the quote that I like from that movie is because I got to catch myself sometimes. But I get frustrated really easy, and I know I shouldn't. So that's the biggest thing I want to change is my attitude.
All right. So yeah, I think you're talking more about composure. Yes.
Composure.
I don't think your attitude is poor. Maybe composure in those situations. Charlie, we're losing you a little bit in terms of we can't hear you as great as we once did.
I was just in the elevator. I'm getting ready to face the noise right now.
Oh, here we go. I can't wait to hear this live. Yeah. So composure. For me, I think the greatest thing a man has is his word. I want to be 100% in the credibility category. I want to always do things that I've said I'm going to do. So here's the big switch, people. He's taking over the motherly duties at the Leon household. Listen in.
I've got my son crying already. Mom's about to leave. Moms are everything, you know.
They are.
Kids are real. They don't want nobody else but their mom, and that's exactly what I'm going through right now.
See, you got to play a Dr. Mr. Mom.
Dr. Mr. Mom. Absolutely. Mom's not too happy.
She's not. Weather the storm, Charlie. Weather the storm.
On the radio. Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
You are live on the What's Your Inspiration podcast.
Oh, look at that.
Well, yeah, basically live. So Charlie has agreed to this wonderful interview, and I'm describing the multitask ability of your husband.
What's the what?
The multitask ability of your husband.
None.
He's got none. He has no multitask ability, huh? He's doggone useless.
He can't chew and walk at the same time.
I definitely can't do that. You've seen me. You've seen me out at Christmas parties. I cannot chew gum and walk at the same time. That's why I don't chew gum.
I got someone here for you too. Bubba, say hi.
Who's this?
All right. He gets shy.
Really. He gets shy. Somebody at the other line.
That never is shy, and that's my lovely daughter, Aaliyah. And I will get her to say hello to you right now. Aaliyah, say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Aaliyah. How are you?
This is the best part of getting home, is hearing my kids always excited. And it's always a show and tell.
That's got to be the most comforting feeling in the world.
She's good.
And your other little one?
Yeah. And my little, he's over here. He's just shy.
Okay, so but he's good, under control.
Yeah, everybody's good here.
Anytime you need.
I got a little bit of family here too. It's her sister's here and her husband's here as well. So, it's a full house today.
Gotcha. So you have some bullpen help if you need it.
Yeah, that's the only way I'm getting out of trouble. Right.
I love it. Hey, let's have a little fun. Movies, inspirational movies that invoke, inspire the fire within. You mentioned Hacksaw Ridge. Do you want to explain to the audience what Hacksaw Ridge is about without, you know, plotting the entire movie?
Talking about the Bible, you know, and my favorite story in the Bible is the story of Joseph.
And okay.
How he overcame without having to give up his own beliefs. And that's the biggest thing about that movie without giving it away whatsoever.
Oh,
if
wow.
you read the story of Joseph in the Bible, if you haven't, he's just a person that believed in his faith and never gave up on it. And the man came out on top. And that's the best way to put it without giving any bit of that movie away.
Wow. Oh, man, that's heavy. So one more time, you are relating Hacksaw Ridge, the movie, to what?
To the story of Joseph in the Bible.
Okay, to the story of Joseph in the Bible. I'm going to leave it at that. That is probably the most succinct thing anybody has done so far on the podcast. Well done, Charlie.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can bow there if you want to. And there you go. Hey, Mel Gibson directed this movie, and I know you as someone who can do some very good impressions and impersonations. Again, people, while in the clubhouse in 13 and 14, you know, Charlie spent a lot of time trying to brighten people's day by showing them videos. In fact, you showed me one time, Charlie, a video of a guy fishing. And he caught a shark, and the shark bit him in the shoulder. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
That was crazy. I said this guy's he's got a very big imagination and abstract mind. But as a great impressionist and impersonator, I'm going to give you a choice. Want to play a little game? To start with a story again. You sent me a Facebook post one time of a guy bouncing off like these huge, huge balls. I don't know, like Bosu balls flying in the air. And he looked like me. And you wrote to me, Foxy, I see that you have no limits.
Oh, yes.
You recall that?
I remember. I don't know, man. When I get inspired, man, I get inspired. And a lot has to do with people that, like I said, you have no limits. And it's just you not limiting yourself to anything. You know, it's like if somebody tells you can't do it, you can.
Yeah, it makes you want to do it, yeah.
Absolutely.
Truth.
Absolutely.
Truth.
And there's nothing more I want to do but get out there. I go, Jesus, I mean, I'm so blessed to be able to stand on my two legs and walk like a normal person. And then Foxy, you're with all the adversity that you have and cerebral palsy, and you still do things, you know, like, and that's why, like, every time I see something, I incorporate it with you. Like, it shouldn't stop you just because you're getting beat by something. It doesn't need to stop you. It's just the whole point of being inspired is, you know, there's nothing should stop you when you're down. Nothing should stop you when you're capable.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. That's my whole thing, man. It's just trying to stay inspired and trying to stay positive. It's one of the hardest things to do nowadays, but that's what we do.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. I have. I really don't know anything else, Charlie. This is the way that I was born, and this is life that I have known. And I appreciate the words, man. The only way I can beat cerebral palsy is by moving forward every single day. So thank you. This is about you. This is called Charlie, You Have No Limits. I would love it if you would give the audience a Mel Gibson impersonation from one of three movies, Braveheart, Ransom, or What Women Want. Which one are you going to choose?
I'll choose What Women Want.
Wow. Okay, we're gonna go romantic comedy. Could you set up the scene for us?
There's a scene, only because I have a daughter, that his daughter comes over his house and invites his boyfriend without him knowing. And this is when he is more than capable of hearing women's thoughts.
Okay. Well set up. This is Charlie Leone doing Mel Gibson in the movie What Women Want.
Now, I don't remember the girl's name, but I'm just going to wing it and just make a name up.
Go for it.
I don't remember what his daughter's name was, but...
No problem.
We're going to call her Nancy.
Great.
I'll see if I can stir up some Mel Gibson in me. Let me see. What do you want to do today? I have a night filled up for you. Oh, my God. Jeez, Who is this guy? How old are you, 30?
That's pretty solid, dude. That's pretty solid.
You're 16 years old, and you're with a guy who's like 21. He's like, wait, don't even answer that. Don't even answer it. I think
that's pretty good. I actually thought when I was going over this and thinking about what you might do, I thought it was going to be Ransom and the line, give me back my son. I thought. But that was Charlie Leone in What Women Want. Charlie, thank you for that.
No problem.
Third bow of the evening. Moving forward to music. And when I asked you about music you commonly listen to, what did you write?
I'm sorry?
When I asked you about music that you most listen to, what did you write to me? Music that you're into?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars, all day, every day of the week. I concur. What a talent. What a talent. Charlie, my question to you is, what would you do to be on stage singing next to Bruno Mars?
Oh, man. What would I do, man? I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to give up any of my foot or arms or anything like that. But, I'd give up, a year's salary just to be on stage with this
you
guy. If I'm successful, I could be successful with him.
That's outstanding. Give up a year's salary to be on stage successful with Bruno Mars. Well, I am going to give you every opportunity to make believe you are on stage with Bruno Mars. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just want you to finish the lyric. I'm going to play a song, and you are going to sing the rest of the lyric after I stop the song. So... this is one of Bruno Mars' songs that he sings with somebody else.
Okay.
You think you're ready?
Yep.
If you can't hear it, let me know, but I'm going to start it right about now. Let's see here. All right, it's coming on. I'm going to hold it up. Hang on a moment. You got it?
Yeah, I hear it.
Okay, here we go. Stay with it. Go for it. There you go. There you go.
Because I'm happy. That is. The best song.
It really is. What's the song with the movie with the minions, right?
Yep.
What's that movie called?
With the minions?
Yeah.
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me. That's is it Pharrell and Bruno Mars?
I believe it's just Pharrell.
Yes. Pharrell and maybe Bruno's in there somewhere. Awesome, man. So we've got We've got Charlie doing Mel Gibson. We've got him doing Pharrell and some great advice as well. We are going to wrap up here with this, Charlie. I've said in previous podcasts, not all heroes wear a cape. And you said it in the beginning how your parents were your heroes. To finish up tonight, today, whenever it is, describe their journey to this country, and what part of your parents do you want to pass on to your kids?
So there's two big stories here. Okay, my mom had a little bit of an easier journey to the States. My grandfather came here, actually. Married another woman by the good graces of my grandmother, who is an absolute saint for doing that, because God knows what woman would allow their husband to marry another woman in order to provide for their family. A very big sacrifice what my grandmother did. My mom got here after losing her husband, and I have stepbrothers. I have one sister and two other brothers who are by the same mother, by my mom. And unfortunately, their dad died trying to get here as well on a boat.
Where from, Charlie?
Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So my mom came to the Dominican Republic. Her way was a little bit easier, but came over here. And her adversity was she was a single mother with three kids. How do I do this? And my mom did it by just working. My dad had it a little rougher. My dad flew to Mexico and did it the old-fashioned Mexican way and crossed our border with the coyotes, is what they're called, is the human trafficking down in Mexico. And my dad crossed the border with his brother and another lady and their child and had to smuggle in drugs in book bags and also hide from the immigration, our Homeland Security at the time. And my dad went through a heck of a lot to get to where he is now. He crossed the border with the California, from California to Texas to Chicago, New Jersey.
Wow.
And my dad went through a rough patch because he did not think that life would be the way it was here in the United States as people said it would be. And, literally starting from nothing because, again, you are leaving your country to start over. New life, new money, no job, and to be able to be successful where my parents were, they worked their butt off, they took care of not only me and my other three brothers and sister, and were able to get us out of a small two-bedroom apartment with six people, and able to move into a house. My mom now owns her own business as a hairdresser, and my dad, unfortunately, he is unable to work due to having cancer.
I'm sorry.
And surviving. My dad is a cancer survivor, but he's still battling the aftermath of the treatment. So, unfortunately, my dad is not the same person, but he is still strong. He still has his faith, and that is what I want to install into my kids is faith.
Faith.
Faith is huge, and a big part of what we talked about today, and the few things that inspire me, Fox, is just faith. I mean, anybody can have somebody to be there for them, but there's nobody going to be there more for you than your own faith.
Right.
If you know that you can make it out of something because of your faith, and you stick by your faith, it will happen for you. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in God, or they give up on God because something doesn't go the way they plan. But you know what? That is God's plan. And he wants you to know that I need you to be as strong as you, as I know you can be, before I reward you. And that's doing it without having to be spiteful or angry. It's just being humble and thankful. So that is what some stuff I want to install that my parents gave me, because that's the adversity they went through, and they held on to their faith, and they were able to give us every bit of what we wanted and more growing up.
I'd say, you know, from knowing you, Charlie, they've done a great job, and I think that's great advice, just having the faith. Charlie, this has been great. You know, I learned things tonight, today, about you that I did not know previously, and I am so glad to have had you on the show, on this podcast, and to catch up as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Foxy, and I got to get on my literature here, man, because I can't have you hit me with something like this again. If I'm ever on the podcast, I got to be a little more literacy savvy.
It would be a good idea to be a little more book savvy on the show. This is the What's Your Inspiration podcast. But again, you know, if everyone's getting those questions right, why am I asking them?
Absolutely.
Right? How would you learn something if at first you say, I don't know?
Yep.
Just an observation. But Charlie, thanks again. Need to have you back on at some point.
Absolutely.
Okay. Ladies, gentlemen, that is the end of the third What's Your Inspiration podcast. Charlie and I will talk to you all later. Take good care.
You have been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Buyer. Because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Step, you're idle no more. Step, pick yourself up off the floor. Step, get up out of your seat. Step, you will not lie there in defeat. Step, mind and body in winning tranquility. Step, without movement there is no possibility. Step, each pace equals a seed. Step, the world's largest sequoia tree. Step, one by one they'll mass. Step, the core-filled passes down 50 paths. Step.